This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Don't forget, in the next hour, that is the noon o'clock hour, we will have our Shakira ticket giveaway. But right now, I wanted to talk some more about George Pickens. Now, we've been meaning to do this segment all week, but then Mavericks got Cooper Flagg and I flipped out and, you know, it got away from us just a little bit.
You did lose your mind about that.
Yes, absolutely. And I let a bunch of kids smash my sunglasses. Well worth it. Is George Pickens getting a clean slate with the organization and the Cowboys fan base? So one of the reasons that I thought about this was, you know, earlier this week, I think it was a tweet, maybe it was an Instagram story, where Pickens was talking about how the front office for the Steelers was the cheapest front office in the world. And then there was articles of people like, see, he's up to his same old nonsense already. And there's already been articles from Steelers players, some names, some not, that were like, hey, we felt like our team would be better off without him. So there is like a lot of baggage that comes along with this player. And so my question for you guys, and we can even throw to Stephen Jones for part of this, is do you think you get to wipe the slate clean and you're like, hey, that was the other organization, this is us? Or do you think at the first sign of trouble, like let's say he just says some offhand thing about like, well, you know, I really wish we cared more about winning. Do you think that's just going to be like, see, trash, always wrecking teams? Or do you think people are like, whoa, that was surprising to hear him speak out?
Yeah, I mean, let's go to Stephen Jones for sure and get some of his thoughts on, let's go cut nine here.
Okay.
And, thoughts on his attitude.
He's an uber competitor, and we had one in Dez Bryant who was the same way. I mean, he just couldn't get enough, and boy, when the lights came on and his cleats hit the turf, he was a different guy, and it feels like George is going to be that way. He certainly sometimes plays with high emotion, and that can, as we all know, when you're playing sports and you're competing and you're playing with a lot of emotion, sometimes you can make a wrong decision here and there, but we had that with Dez, but certainly he knows he wants to continue to get his hands around that, just like Dez worked at it all the time. And we feel like that it's certainly worth what comes with that in terms of what he's doing to continue to get better when he's out there competing week in and week out. And I know, you know, all the homework we did, he's well loved by his teammates. They want him on their team. And we felt the same way about Dez. And we just feel like he's going to bring something here to our organization that we need in terms of an edge and, you know, bringing that energy of competition to the field day in, day out, week in, week out.
Yeah. That's the line, Kevin, that you constantly refer to. How good are you versus how much you'll deal with? How pretty is she versus how much you'll deal with from her? And that's where they felt. He just said it. We felt like he's good enough for us to say we can work with these and navigate this. And they did deal with Dez. They did go through Dez's outbursts, which were emotional. And they said, you know, we never really got it, but we were always told it's not a distraction, it's competitiveness. And while I think sometimes it can be a distraction because you're having those, but you have outbursts in the middle of things. Hopefully you can stay focused on it. Now, when you ask the question about clean slate, it sounds like they're willing to give him the clean slate.
It does.
However, as you pointed out, the first time something is said or goes wrong, then that's strike two. Not just strike one, that's strike two, because what you did in the NFL was already seen. If you did it somewhere and nobody saw it, then that's probably clean slate for you. But if you do it and people see it, and which they did, they saw it in the NFL already, then it's strike two immediately. So I'm willing to definitely give him as clean of a slate as I can, but I know things that have already happened. You know, the types of, when he grabbed Jordan Lewis's face mask and threw him to the ground for whatever, because of the competition, you know, it got too heated for him. I need him and Mike Tomlin said he's going to have to grow up fast.
Yeah.
That line sticks with me, man. Yeah. Whenever a Mike Tomlin says something like that. So I believe that he has to grow up and show and prove through this season that he's willing to be that kind of guy. I still want that competitive fire. I still want that competitive edge that he comes with without being something that causes problems and rifts for the team as they're trying to focus on something bigger.
Now, there's a couple of things with that. For Dez Bryant, I feel like a lot of the fan base really loved him, but there was definitely...
Because he was a beast.
Yeah, but there was definitely a group that would just microscopically analyze every single thing, and so it kind of feels like maybe we're in the same direction with George Pickens. As to what Steven said, and I think I made an audible, when he said that, was his teammates like him. That has kind of proven to not be overwhelmingly the case coming out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I haven't heard.
Because,
so have you have?
Yes, there are multiple people from the Steelers locker room. Now, again, this is going to be a thing where the players are not identified. And I know some people, it really bothers them about unnamed sources. And they're like, hey, put your name with it if you really mean it. But there are multiple Steelers players that said they got fed up with Pickens, quote, antics and quickly got turned off by him for multiple reasons. And some felt it would be counterproductive to keep him around, even with his talent, because he could make the locker room toxic. And so this is from people that were in the Steelers locker room. And so I'm not saying there are not plenty of examples of teammates that you could find for George Pickens. They're like, oh yeah, he's the best. Love that guy. But here's an example right here of people who are on the team. He was just on. And we're like, no, we needed to move on with him. And word is, from the organization, not that many people were broken up when he got traded.
I know the media, I heard plenty of people from the Pittsburgh media that were like, he treated us as if we were not even humans. You know, like that's yikes. So I know that the opinions out of the media in Pittsburgh are going to come out
sure
in that manner. And that's, I mean, clean slate's another thing too. Doesn't it seem weird that, like, Dak will go into a season and he's like, why are y'all mad? Last year was last year.
Yeah.
No, dude, this is not each year does not present a clean slate.
Yeah.
Your 8-year
fans.
Yeah, your 8-year history is built with us. You're actually, unfortunately, carrying the 30-year history of failure that we've had. And that's unfortunate for you.
I agree.
But don't be mad at us because you're failing. And we're not going to give you a clean slate whenever last year the playoffs. You expected this team to be so good, and then you collapsed in the playoffs, and then you start the season rough. That's where that clean slate doesn't exist for you. So don't just expect that we're going to give you that each season. The successes as you go along and the promise of a good future is what we're looking for.
From the 682, because there are very divisive opinions about this. From the 682, Tigers don't change their stripes. He will be a locker room problem. And then from the 806, I hope being a contract year, he'll be on good behavior.
That's where I land.
Especially since he, because like, I'll admit, when I first heard the trade, I was like, oh no, does he want to get paid too? And so when you heard like, hey, no, I'm going to let the season play out because he thinks he has the talent. And at times he shows
this team.
Yeah. At times he shows he has the talent to absolutely be a number one wide receiver. Now, not on a consistent basis, but I think he's like, I think I can show that. I think I can show that I'm not a problem and then I can get paid accordingly. So that is an intriguing philosophy about while he'll be on his best behavior. But if you think it's intrinsically inside of him, sometimes that's a hard pattern to break.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can tell yourself, just be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. It doesn't always work.
It comes out on that play.
Yes.
I will say the Mavericks with Dirk, didn't they always seem to be like, it doesn't matter who the character is. They all kind of fall into the fold whenever they get here with Dirk for whatever reason.
Sure. It does not feel like that is the case here.
And that felt like, The Mavericks at the time, Donnie Nelson, he knew, I can go get a troubled player and put him in this room and he's going to be just fine because we do have the infrastructure. And for whatever reason, Dirk has the leadership in that locker room and they all respect him. And so that was a positive thing. I'm hopeful that as players get brought in, they have that same respect for the leadership in the Cowboys locker room.
Yeah.
But when winning is a key factor to that, and when you're not winning, so that's going to be a big deal. You have to win, and people will continue to be, hey, I'm on this train. I'm happy with it until things go wrong. So I'm hopeful that the leadership that they have in that locker room is able to carry wins and that everybody that could be a potential problem is like, nah, we're good right now.
Because especially on the offensive end of things, obviously, it's Dak. Like, I know there's been a discussion for the last several years and now going into this season about you know, DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah, now it being the Micah show and everything. But for somebody that it seems like everybody respects, he does all kinds of great things in the community. I would love it if the locker room leadership of Dak is one of the reasons that Pickens got in line and was like, now you can just see my talent and none of the other crap that goes along with it.
The I like this from the 903. Hasn't Kyrie been a prime example of players changing? Was he considered toxic?
That's intriguing.
Well, yes, it's intriguing. But wasn't this kind of considered his last chance?
Sure.
Because when he got traded we had that conversation of he got traded here. The Nets didn't want to trade him to LA.
Yeah.
Like, that was the one thing. But other teams didn't want to trade for Kyrie. And so he lands here, and it was, hey, man, if you don't do it here, you might not have another chance to prove it anywhere else.
And so that's an interesting, man, I really like that example because, you know, some people will argue as like toxic can mean just misunderstood or, and I'm sure from Kyrie's perspective, because I'm not going to lie, sometimes I feel like that. Sometimes people think I'm a certain way and I'm like, I'm not, I just don't think you're totally understanding me. I wonder if Kyrie felt that way. I wonder if George Pickens can come into this situation.
Unwilling to try to understand you.
Yes, exactly. And I wonder if George Pickens, that is a good point, can come into this situation and maybe the Cowboys are more open to understanding who he is as a person. Maybe George Pickens is more open and that's how things fall into place. Or maybe he's just here for 1 year, gets all of the money somewhere else, but balls out along the way. Then are you going to be like, that's fine. Thank you for letting us have a great season, depending on where it ends.
And anybody that says we're not giving him credit for the receiver that he is because of the quarterbacks he played with before.
We talked extensively about that.
And that's where we do have the hope that Dak is a difference maker for him.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know it, but I'm hopeful.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. If you can, Alec, please give me cut number 4 because we talked about the NHL playoffs. I want to go to the NBA playoffs right now.
7 seconds left, 6 seconds left. The Warriors will not foul. That is going to do it. The horn sounds here at Target Center, and the Wolves have captured game 5, 121 to 110.
I'm glad they didn't foul because there were 7 seconds left and it was an 11-point game. So I'm really glad that did not happen. All right. Minnesota advances to the Western Conference Finals. They're in the Western Conference Finals in back-to-back seasons for the first time in franchise history.
Wow.
So you go back, and I know he moved on and won a championship with Boston, but you think about how in like really high regard Kevin Garnett is held. He never did this. So if you love Anthony Edwards, or maybe if you don't love him, like, this is a pretty big step for him. Now he needs to make the next step or two. But go ahead.
I know you love the Nuggets.
I do.
This is one of the things, though, where I hope, because he already took down Jokic last year.
Yep.
This is where I hope that he gets to square off against the Thunder, and it's Shea versus Anthony Edwards.
I bet the NBA would enjoy that as well.
Absolutely.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Two rising stars that they could probably sit on for 3 or 4 years down the road here, maybe even 7. And this is me just kind of being an Anthony Edwards fan, hoping that he overcomes Shea in this run. And I don't know how the NBA would want either one of these versus that. I still think it's the Knicks they want them to play, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
But this is where I'm kind of hoping that the Thunder get this win over the Nuggets so that we can see that young star back and forth.
And I do think it's going to happen. Maybe the Nuggets can pull it off tonight. They are still underdog, but if Jokic plays anywhere near the way he did in game 5, maybe they can pull it off. But I still would think Oklahoma City would win that series. So Oklahoma City against Minnesota on one side. On the other side, it's going to be the Pacers against, I still think, the Knicks. And they're going back to Madison Square Garden. But that first game without Tatum, holy crap, did they get destroyed. Derek White was unbelievable. Brown was playing fantastically. And they just deconstructed the Knicks. And so I wonder if the Knicks are like, we better win this series in game 6. But you've got no Tatum for the rest of the season, probably for most, if not all, of next season as well. But I still think you'll end up getting Thunder T-Wolves. Pacers, Knicks as your two conference championships.
Jalen Brown's all, we are not going home.
Okay, I mean, he doesn't quite
we're
sound
not done yet.
Like Dobby, but, you know, or Dobie. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus I might be a genius, and so is Brian Schottenheimer, next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Got Shakira ticket giveaway coming up in the noon o'clock hour, plus Corey's revolutionary segment predicting the 2025 Cowboys record. I believe this is the 14th year we've done that. Don't know.
We're the first ones to ever do it. Everybody's been copying us since.
Is that right?
Appreciate it.
Okay. And then at coming up at 1:22.
Game by game, by the way.
Okay.
Each game, we pick wins and losses.
Just
how many games into the season do you think I'll forget what my record is?
Three.
Dude, give me some credit.
Right, okay, four.
Four. Yeah, that's probably right.
All right. And then also coming up at 1:22, we will talk with Mavericks legend and good luck charm, Rolando Blackman. But right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the pride of Mansfield, Texas. 877-881-1053, the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. Plus Twitch and YouTube, want to hear from you. And I think me and Brian Schottenheimer, I think we're just geniuses. I'm going to tell you why here in just a little bit. But gentlemen, I look at the National Day calendar. I see that today is National Chocolate Chip Day. So, what is the best chocolate-based food? 877-881-1053. There's a lot of different directions you can go there. It doesn't just have to be a candy. It could be a baked good. It can be whatever. If it involves chocolate, let's hear it.
Man, that is a tough decision. I think it's a really excellently made, and to me, that means still soft and chewy in the middle, chocolate chip cookie. Like, that's tough to beat, especially if it's piping hot. That's tough to beat.
Yeah, I love brownies.
Okay, yeah.
But I don't like the crunchy brownie edge. I like the middle gooey brownie.
Oh,
good man.
Just loves the crunchy brownie.
Yeah, and if you like the crunchy edge, you're wrong.
That's right.
That's there's only one option here, Brad Sham. That's a conversation he and I had on Twitter. No, the but serious, like I do love a good brownie. And I sometimes can't resist them.
Okay.
But the Lindt chocolate ball with caramel inside is my favorite. Did I get you a bag of those, Kevin?
I think you did, yes.
Dude, I love those. They just melt in your mouth, and I love that so much. I will take that over a brownie.
Okay.
But a good brownie is phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I can't even tell you the last time I had a brownie. Like,
really?
Growing up, we used to make them almost weekly. The family would be like a, you know, after dad gets home from work, we'd be like, you know, okay, on a Friday, let's make something for the weekend. It ended up being cookies or brownies. Ever since then, I don't go out of my way to find them. I don't go out of my way to make them. But when they are presented to me, I know how to party. I have a great time.
Okay.
I have a great time with a brownie, man. It's how about...
I want that as a drop.
How about no? Corey, I need your opinion on the combination cookie brownie.
Oh, the brookie?
No, I'll take that for sure. Yeah, that's because cookies are fantastic. Listen, man, father-in-law just came in town. Every time he comes into town, he bakes a batch of like 36 cookies.
Okay. How many dozen is that?
Three. I think he does four dozen, but he eats the first dozen. He's retired. He's fine. But they're good. They're really good cookies, and I always look forward to it. And then my kids try to eat them all, so I have to hide some. But I'm perfectly. I actually like the. I like the. Did you call it a crookie?
It's a brookie.
A brookie?
I didn't make that up. That's what they're called. Brownie
never,
cookie. It's
I've
a bookie.
I've never heard that before.
I haven't either, but I like it.
You can place bets with it?
No, that's a bookie.
Gotcha.
Huh.
I mean, yeah, but I'm in on that too, man. I'm not, but I don't love, so I don't, I'm not a huge fan of like the chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
Like the all, it's just a.
Yeah, not, the triple chocolate yeah. or whatever, yeah.
Or chocolate cakes. Like I'm out on the, Adrian loves the chocolate cakes and I'm like, I could do, I love a good, like a creme brulee, ooh. You know, or a tiramisu or a tres leches cake.
What,
I'm more into those like creamy kind of eatery things.
Is creme brulee one of the like ice cream soup looking things where they burn it on the top?
It's a custard, yes. That then on the top is a sugar layer that they do burn, yes.
Hey, so see, I got like elements of that correct.
The ice cream soup.
I will tell you that that's what it looks like to me. That's,
I like that description better.
That's what it looks like to me. I will tell you this.
Custard is a weird word.
Yeah.
If you're going with like just the box product you would buy at the store, I think that the brownies, they do a great job with the box product. Like you can buy really that for $2.50 or whatever. And you're like, hey, good job.
Let's see from the 817. They said that's also a wrestler, Brooker T. Washington. I think you mean Booker T.
I love it. It's our friend, by the way.
Text.
He's
yes.
our friend. We get to spend some time with him.
One of my favorite moments in the history of life. And certainly while working here is we were running behind and somebody goes, hey, we're running behind.
It was Spittle. Spittle came to you and was like, hey, I need your help.
Can you go chat and hang out with Booker T for like 10 minutes? And I was like, definitely.
He picked the right person too. He knew. He was like, he was looking, he's a wrestling fan. He's looking around at this crew going, who is the, Kevin. Yeah. Kevin is the one.
Yeah.
If you guys want to have him on again, I have a weird connection to him that might actually work.
Oh. So
I could look into that.
I mean, I'm just going to tell you my answer is yes.
I kind of want to know the weird connection, you know? Like if it's that weird.
I'll write it down. I got a prediction.
Okay.
I want to know what this prediction is.
I bet
if
you can figure it out.
Down.
I bet you figure it out, Alec.
I hate where this is going. Anyways.
Well, we love you.
Back to, sure. Yeah. Let's see how many more jokes get made until 2 p.m. today. Oh, and we're staying late today, too. So you got more time to make jokes.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. You guys are lucky. I'm not. From the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line, 877-881-1053. Someone said crowny is the real term.
See, I can understand that.
No, it's not. Mm. It's a brookie.
Okay.
I didn't invent that. That's what it's called.
You can die on that
hill. Are
you
sure?
Crowny.
Where did you hear that?
I don't know.
That your ice cream soup definition book?
Urban Dictionary.
I like this from the 817. One ice cream soup, please. Pinky out.
That's a fair point. And no, we're not going to ask Booker T about Spring Stampede 1997. I saw it too. So it is a fair point. Oh, I probably can't take the high ground of it's called a brookie, just trust me when I said, is it the ice cream soup that you set on fire or burn on the top? That's a fair point. I will back down on this.
Corey, you know, I'm not, like you said, I'm not big on like the triple chocolate. You know who has a really good all chocolate cake? Portillo's. Their cake is amazing.
Yeah.
If you get out to, because it seems like they're popping up everywhere now.
Yeah, we saw them in Arizona this year.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, and there's one right by my house now, which is detrimental to my macros. But hey, that cake and the cake shake is amazing. The cake shake might be the best dessert I've ever had.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
What is a cake shake?
It's an actual, it's a shake that they will take a slice of cake, put it in the cup, and they will mix it up so you get chunks of cake. As you consume the shake. So it's not just like it's cake flavored.
Uh-huh.
You're getting a real chunk of a real slice of cake.
So I did this. I told Lucy we would go get frozen custard. Little did I know, there's not much frozen custard around. All right. So like you have to drive. So we had to drive to Richardson to Andy's Frozen Custard. That was the closest one over in Addison.
Really good.
And they have one over in Dallas too, next to Vector Brewing. We drove over there and they had a custard. It was one of their concretes is what it's called with apple pie, a whole slice of apple pie shoved into their concrete thing. And Kevin, this thing was ridiculous. It was over the holidays that I had it. It was so good. But like you said, a whole thing just thrown in there, broken into pieces, mix it. It's like the perfect bite every time because you get some custard, you get some pie.
I got one of those because there's one in Mansfield right down the street from my house, and It was my buddy Anthony who showed me. He was like, this one will change your life. Because I would just get like something simple. He's like, spend the extra couple dollars to get something stupid.
Yeah.
And it just has an entire brownie in the middle, and they blend it up, and it's amazing. It's got hot fudge in the center too, so you get the hot and cold. Oh my gosh. Like, I'm not a big sugar guy anymore, but you could lure me to any place you need to with something from Andy's. It's amazing. But lots of brownie love here from the 817, the Costco chocolate chip cookie. It's always the places that you don't really expect.
I don't know if I've
ever
had a chocolate chip cookie from there.
I have. It, long time ago when I used to go with my grandparents when I was younger. But really, really good. And before I worked here, I worked at Market Street, the Mansfield location. Their bakery, amazing. Top tier. I know when we did the Brew Crew tour thing that Sean and RJ was doing a while back, they stopped there a few times, and I would always tell the morning show guys, I'd be like, hey, you need to go try this giant, like probably the size of your face, chocolate chip cookie that they had. Neat. And Kevin, like you said, piping hot and just absolutely melty dough in the middle, but it had like enough integrity on the outside to where you can pick it up and hold it. So it was amazing. And I had the employee discount there. So every Friday that I worked, I'd be like, one day a week, you know, don't want to eat too many of these. I'd get one of those. It was amazing. So keep those coming in. 877-881-1053. Your favorite chocolate-based foods. Got a couple things we can get to here. This might have been my favorite thing to come from Cowboys Social yesterday. You guys.
This podcast is brought to you by Minz Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Minz Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MINZ-TEA today or visit MinzTeaClinic.com. That's MinzTeaClinic.com.
Probably saw it all by now, the schedule reveal, the little live stream thing that they did with Micah Parsons and players. Well, there was a moment that was captured by the social team where it was CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons hanging out in the golf cart together, and Brian Schottenheimer walks up to them, your new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. He's got a cup in his hand. And naturally, the guys want to know what's in his cup, and this is how it went.
They said, what's in the cup?
It's a shoddy.
Yo!
Tito's.
A little tea.
Water. Three lemons.
Okay. Shoddy.
Yeah, it's a shoddy.
Shoddy McLovin.
Yeah. I like it.
Hey, I'm
you like, hydrate while you have a good time.
Yeah, we got to hydrate and heat up because it's hot. It's about 100 degrees out here.
It's so hot.
Called it a shoddy. He did have a drink in his hand, and I just wanted to be known. I think he's a genius, but so am I, because the day that the Cowboys hired Brian Schottenheimer, I tweeted, and I said, every DFW bar needs to have something on the menu called the shoddy or the Schottenheimer, some sort of blue curacao mixed shot or something, or a drink that is just absolutely blue, like Smurf blue.
The Schottenheimer, doesn't it sound like though it's gonna blow up, like it's like the A-bomb?
Yeah, make it like a Jaeger bomb that's somehow blue. I don't know how you pull that off with how dark Jaeger is, but hey, like make it some sort of like Red Bull mixed shot or something.
Yep.
And I tweeted that out, and I was like, somebody needs to do that. I got a couple of DMs from bartenders that said, hey, I'm working on this right now. I'll let you know if it comes to fruition.
Oh, nice.
So I think that me and Brian Schottenheimer are just geniuses, and also the people of Harvard are too.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, because, you know, it takes a lot to get in there, and usually smart people are produced there. But this is a wild story, just one of those kind of like, you love those stories, at least I do, where people go to Goodwill and they find something. They're like, oh, that's cool. I'll pay $20 for it. Sure. Ends up being a multi-$1,000 piece of history.
Right.
So Harvard University wanted to get a like reproduction copy of the Magna Carta, which was published back in 1215. It's one of the first ever like real governmental documents that we know of, that we have proof of. And so they bought a $27 reproduction copy of it.
Oh no.
After actually investigating it, they traced it back to be one of the 14th century real copies of the Magna Carta. And they bought it for $27 online. And this is now a multi-million dollar piece of history because it's a real copy of it.
And that's why they don't need all that money.
They really don't. They got so lucky.
You can find things for cheap.
That's so true. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, where Corey has learned of the heartbreaking news The Fox and the Hound in Richardson has closed.
No.
My friends actually told me that last week. Shout out to Bill and Matt, because that's where we watched so many UFCs. Yes. And so I guess it is closed.
Dude, that's where we do our fantasy draft every year. Now, where am I going to do my fantasy draft? Andy's frozen custard. Here we come, baby.
Mm. Oh, really feels like you rebounded from that loss quickly.
Sorry. Fox and Hound, Richardson.
Yeah. Oh, so, well, that's fine. I found a different place. Yeah.
They don't even serve drinks at Andy's, Kevin. It's not going to be the same. They have amazing frozen custard, though.
If you're having a fantasy draft and not drinking, are you even having a draft?
Probably. You're not.
I'm not. Yeah. That's why.
Because you don't do fantasy football either, though.
Exactly. I'm the most boring person you know. All right. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL.
You said it.
And if it is some gridiron gravy.
Dip. Dip it and rip it.
I'm aware. My boringness.
Dude, you're the life of the party.
Right. All right. So let's.
You will force your way into the party.
Look, it just really depends. If you invited me to a party, do I care or not? Because if I don't, you'll forget I was even there. If I do.
Yeah, I think you showed up at my party, my first housewarming party.
Yes.
I invited you. You said, I'll be there. You didn't know anybody there.
Yeah.
And you sat down and held court just like always. So that's my anticipation is whenever you're around, you're going to hold court, bro.
You know what, Alec? I know we're supposed to do gridiron.
Oh, no.
But is it time for something that I've been carrying for, how old are you now, Corey?
43.
All right. I've been carrying this for almost 4 years. Is it time to just really quickly disparage Reggie and Mike for something?
Oh, no. But yes.
Oh, no.
It's Corey Major's 40th birthday
party. Oh, yeah.
It's a surprise birthday party. Several of his friends are there. A video game truck is there.
It was a video game truck, yeah. I don't even think I went inside of it.
I'm there. But where, I ask you, where are the other members of the then KNC Masterpiece? Well, they're nowhere to be found. Take out your phone.
All right.
No, I took out my phone. Okay. I'm sorry.
I was very confused.
Texted Mike. Texted Reggie. Very similar responses. Of holy crap, I forgot that was today.
Oh, I didn't even know. It was a surprise.
I'm getting in my car and I'm on my way. And so I just want you to know.
Thanks, man.
I was disappointed. Whenever you joke about having a phone call, I definitely had a conversation with everybody else in the show. And I was like, what the hell?
Well,
you all forgot.
I will say this. I was so happy to see Mike because I never would have expected him to show up at all. And he did. He kindly showed up. Reggie being there, it was like, that was one of the coolest things too. Cause it's Reggie, dude. Like
yes.
Just being around Reggie is a fun night. And then he ended up racing both of my sons in the street.
Yes.
So that was fun too.
That's a real thing that happened. But yeah, we definitely had a conversation.
Thanks, man.
About what the hell.
Look at you. That's what he cared about that party.
That's right. All right. A couple of other schedule notes for you. Let's start with this because people went back and forth about why this is. So Yahoo, for example, thought that the Colts deleted their Minecraft-inspired schedule release because the Chargers did the same thing. They're like, Chargers got there first and they did it better. But other people, including Mike Florio...
Should they coordinate it? Like, should the NFL go, guys, we need to coordinate our bits are going to be?
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
Because I could see how Minecraft would be what you would want to go after this time.
For sure.
But Mike Florio was one of the people's like, no. That's not why they deleted it. They deleted it because they had some like kind of inflammatory stuff in there. So like week one, they depicted Tyreek Hill as a dolphin who got arrested by the Coast Guard. And I'm going to admit, did not totally know that the Coast Guard could arrest people. Also, I'm just kidding. Also, they dubbed Kyler Murray a chicken jockey. I don't think I've ever heard that phrase in my life.
Yes, you have. Chicken jockey. Everybody goes nuts in the theater for Minecraft movie.
Yes. I'm sorry. That's true.
Who was it that they dubbed that, though?
Kyler Murray.
Okay, I can understand a little bit.
And then they showed Patrick Mahomes as a frog jumping into a boxing ring to stop the fight between John Rocker and Patrick Mahomes Sr. But it's the first one
that
seems to have caught people's attention. And the Colts did, in fact, apologize to Tyreek Hill. And Tyreek Hill, he just kind of laughed it off. He's like, it's fine. Like, I don't really care.
Oh, well, that's nice.
But I just thought it was an interesting development during the day, because there were some sites that's like, oh, that's embarrassing. They copied theirs. That's why they deleted it. And then there were other people who were like, if you've seen the video, I don't think that's why they deleted it. All right. For Monday Night Football, we've talked about this in the past. There are five doubleheaders. Personally, I like the Monday Night Football doubleheader, but I know there are some people who don't because there can be some crossover and you can miss like certain parts of certain games. Sorry, that was inadvertent. I need something to fidget with at all times.
I got you. I don't mind the doubleheader. Like, I'm not going to see all of every game. I try to see all of every game that I can, but I don't mind the. I actually do like it, like you, Kevin. It's the nights when my kid's playing football that I'm like, oh man, how am I going to watch all three of these football games?
Yes.
And usually what ends up happening is I get to watch my kid's game and then I get to pick up on the second game. And that's how that happens. But because it's a little later. And so yes. I'm cool with that.
From the 575, take notes, Medford. If you miss any of Corey's parties, it's your ass.
Facts.
Yeah, I'm scared now.
Definitely.
You need to plan a party, I guess.
All right. Sunday Night Football is going to kick off with the Ravens and the Bills. We talked about how the Cowboys and Chiefs will happen on Thanksgiving. Also on Thanksgiving, Lions and the Packers, Bengals and the Ravens. So there's a lot.
Dude, that's fun. That's a fun game right there. Now, Trey Hendrickson's going to be furious.
Man, where's he going to be?
Probably Baltimore.
Oh man, oh my gosh, that'd be amazing. Then you go to Underdog, you make your play, whatever. It's going to be like over under half a sack. You take
the over.
You go higher. All right, definitely.
He's out for blood.
So my favorite schedule release video, because the people put their money where their mouth is, was the Vikings.
Okay.
Did you see the Vikings schedule release?
I haven't seen all the schedule releases yet.
It was everybody getting tattoos. And so they would be like, here's the week one matchup. And somebody got one of the tattoos they got in their lip, like inside their lower lip. That looked super painful. But yeah, the video is all of these Vikings fans.
Oh, like, fans. I thought like the players were getting.
I'm sorry. Vikings fans being asked if they would do it and then getting the tattoos that showed off like different matchups. And it would be like, ooh, look at this tattoo. Week two versus Atlanta. And so it was really, it's really
that
fun.
Is wild to have that actually tattooed on your body.
So just the video showed the week two part, but they all got tattoos of different like variations of the Vikings kind of dominating certain things or just being the Vikings doing
cool.
things. And yeah,
that is pretty cool.
I thought that was very impressive. Like one of them, it's a picture of a battery dying for the Chargers. And so it's got a battery with an open mouth and a tongue sticking out, and it's clearly dying. And so that was for the Chargers. Yes. I just thought that was super duper fun. By the way, Eagles Chiefs rematch in week two, if you care about that. What I wanted to also talk about today, do you ever think, because I don't think we will, do you ever think, and would you be intrigued by the concept of the NFL draft lottery? This is something that we talked about years ago. And now with the Mavericks shocking the world and getting Cooper Flagg, I've seen some people bring it back up and they're like, oh, hold on. What if that meant the Dallas Cowboys, who were in about that same spot as the Mavericks were, what if they would have won the draft lottery and got the number one pick? Do you ever think we'll see an NFL draft lottery?
So this is really interesting. I don't necessarily love the draft lottery already.
Okay.
Because, man, my team, let's say my team had just terrible luck this year. And there I am. And you know what? Because of this terrible luck, I'm at number four.
Yeah.
And now somehow I get bounced out of that. And I'm like.
Like the Wizards.
Yeah, exactly. And so like that's very frustrating. Now, tanking is a different thing.
Yes.
And we have a topic for that later. Tanking is a completely different thing, and I hate that it exists, but I see the benefit of it. But I don't love the draft lottery already. So the way that it is in the NFL, I mean, the way they have it, look at it, dude. It's probably more televised than most other sports regular season and playoff games.
I could see that.
So, no.
All right, Alec, would you be pro or against the NFL draft lottery?
I'd be against it.
Carter's against it as well.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Corey. I just don't love the concept of it already. And I feel like it does kind of inadvertently punish teams who aren't trying to be bad. They just are bad. Like, you know, it felt like that happened in this year's NBA draft lottery, where there was a few teams where it was like, ha, you were the second worst team in the league. Here's the eighth pick. You know, like it's punishing other teams for just trying. And I hate that. And it's rewarding other teams for not trying.
Now, a couple more quick things for you guys. There's three teams that have no primetime games.
Name them. I dare
you. No, you guys tell me, who are three irrelevant or nondescript teams?
The Carolina Panthers.
That is a good guess. Believe it or not, no. One of these I was surprised by for sure.
The Saints.
The Saints are on the list of nondescript teams who do not get a primetime game. One of these will hurt Derek Holland's feelings.
Oh, the Browns.
The Browns. The other one is the Titans.
I can't believe the Browns, honestly. With Shador as their quarterback, potentially.
Look, if that becomes the case.
Oh, the Titans make a lot of sense. They're very boring.
But they did have the number one pick, so I would have thought.
That's cool and all.
Tennessee. Hold on. So Shador's already starting in Cleveland, but for Tennessee, you're like, I don't care.
We saw the headlines. No, like, seriously, the Titans, for the entirety of their existence, have bored me to death. And mostly it's Jeff Fisher's fault because of his, like, 500 career. Like, that's just, they've just always been boring. Hopefully they're better, though, but they don't deserve it yet.
By the way, next week at the spring meeting for NFL owners, they're going to consider the resolution to allow NFL players in flag football for the 2028 Olympics. So hopefully we will get some insight into that.
I'm interested to know what the punishment would be if they just say, screw it, I want to do it.
Yeah, because wouldn't you argue you'd violate the collective bargaining agreement, thus your contract, potentially voiding out your contract? Like, I'm not 100% on that, but that would be my guess. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the NFL schedule is out, so it's time for the ridiculous but fun exercise of predicting the 2025 Cowboys record. We will do it next right here on The Fan.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.